Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life radio show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, certified coach, and energy master, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and wellness in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to help you shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for joining us today. And I'm Dr. Joanne White, and I'm very excited because I have a guest who's been on Power Your Life before, and she and I were just talking. We share a lot of beautiful views together about how to transform our world, and I'm talking about this beautiful person, and her name is Anna Gatman, from Supermodel to Modern Mystic. Anna Gatman, PhD, has graced the runways of Yves Saint Laurent and Jean-Paul Gaultier. She was born in Israel into an alcoholic family and grew up with stutter, undiagnosed learning challenges, and she's spent the last two decades on a beautiful inner quest into the workings of our world, the root cause of our suffering, the nature of transformation, and how to face the challenges of our times, and we so need this. Anna is an expert in transformative and holistic learning and the author of the newest award-winning book, Shift Calling, A Practical Guide to Accelerate Your Spiritual Growth. She's the creator of the inspiring Mystical Moment Messages, and Anna's programs and podcasts focus on how to accelerate your and our spiritual growth to meet the challenges of our times with personal tools to help us thrive, flourish, and also to help shift human and planetary consciousness, which we definitely need. And her award-winning book, Living a Spiritual Life in a Material World, attracted over 100 audiences, including a TEDx talk. You can eat your cake and have you can eat your cake and have enlightenment too. I love that, by the way. Welcome, Anna Gatman. How are you?
Hello, Joanne. I am doing very well today. I'm so happy to be back on your show.
I'm so happy to have you. And we are kindred spirits, and
absolutely.
It's so important that you're here now because there's a lot going on, okay, and I want to focus on your newest book too. So some of the people that are listening and haven't heard a lot about you, you know, they weren't involved necessarily when I first interviewed you a while ago. So give our listeners a little bit of your background, and then we'll move forward.
Okay, so I was born and raised in Israel, which is a timely issue that we can talk about as well, is how to evolve in how to evolve human and planetary consciousness. I was born and raised in Israel to a Polish-born father, a Swedish-born mother, a Jewish father, a Protestant mother. I had, as you said, undiagnosed learning challenges, a heavy stutter, which sometimes shows up but has basically left me. Now that I'm doing public speaking, I'm glad that I don't have much of it left. And I was due into the military service, which is mandatory in Israel for men and for women, when you finish high school at age 18. And I happened to go visit my mom. My parents had separated. My mother was back in Sweden. And I was discovered by a fashion model agent who reached out to me. And I should preface this, that my parents had gone for a divorce. My mom was an alcoholic. My dad was a rageaholic. And I had very low self-esteem, red hair, freckles, a stutter. I mean, I didn't think highly of myself. I could say even that I hated myself. And here I was sitting in a pharmacy in Sweden, and this woman reaches out to me and says, would you like to be a fashion model and travel the world? Now, no one expects that. No one expects that. No one. We all hope that, you know, Prince Charming or someone will come to us and save us. And so no one expects that. And I did not expect that with how I felt inside and how I looked when I looked in the mirror. Anyways, you know, a few months later, I was in Paris and I was told that I had a unique look that would either work immediately or would never work. Because I wasn't your typical blonde, blue-eyed, and all of that, you know, red hair, freckles. I had a lot of fire and personality, so it would either work or not.
Way.
And I still do, thank you. Yes, I try to calm it at times in the places where it's too much, but I also like my fire. And we need a lot of fire these days. We need a lot of fire. We each need to connect to our fire and our passion. But anyways, fast forward, you know, I did 10 years of a very successful career in Paris and in New York. And then I moved, I shifted to family life, met my husband. We're still together after whatever, 35 years. I have two young adult children. And spirituality was never on my radar. I did go to 12-step programs when my mom went to rehab. And we talked about a higher power, but I never connected it to spirituality. I never used the word. And just one thing led to another. You know, I got my PhD in holistic and transformative learning. I founded an elementary school. I mean, and suddenly I found myself in this most amazing spiritual community, education center and eco-village in northern Scotland called Findhorn, which is very famous it's famous, you know, now we take it for granted, but at the time, one of their major teachings was that, or is still, that you don't need any intermediary to connect with God. We can each have an unmediated direct experience of the divine by connecting to our inner divinity. That's a really important piece because people search outside for it, and actually I now know how to do it myself, but also how to teach others to connect to their inner divinity and through it to the inner divinity of everything on our planet, whether it's mineral, plant, fungi, animals, humans. And then the second teaching that really blew me away and apparently not knowingly really touched a very, very deep longing in me was that nature has consciousness. It is alive. And we can connect on the spiritual inner realms, we can connect with nature. In fact, everything is alive. Everything has consciousness because it's a magnificent, intelligent world. It's not that certain things are inanimate as we've been taught. Everything is alive. And therefore, when you tap into, you open the hidden door and tap into the inner world through your inner divinity, you can communicate with everything, your home environment, the plants, the trees, and in a sense that we need to accelerate our spiritual growth in order to begin to see that everything is alive and we need to collaborate with everything in order to transition to a more whole world than the fragmented world that we're living in right now.
You know, and that's so very, very important because a lot of people don't know that they can access their inner divinity and think that they need someone to intervene to do that rather have that direct connection, Anna, which is really very important to be able to do. And yes, everything has a consciousness. I have a song for birds that I sing to them as I'm walking and
beautiful.
They don't run away. They like it. or maybe they're talking and thinking how weird I am, but not really. Beautiful. So I think, you know, one of the reasons that interviewing you right now is so very, very essential is because there's a lot going on in our world that needs shifting, that needs changing. And your book, your newest book, Shift Calling, is very apropos. So talk a little bit about your book, and then we'll go into some other things that are important.
Sure, yeah. Well, I want to say that one of the most important things for us to realize is on a global level, but we even need to do the shift personally, is to realize that we share a human consciousness. We see ourselves, we are born into individuation. We experience our material world as separate, but we're all made of the same substance, of this divine sacred consciousness. We call it light, source. We are all made of the same substance. And so just like the sunflower shares a consciousness for all sunflowers, humans who are more individuated, but we still share a human consciousness. And so if I work on my personal issues and you work on your personal issues and your listeners, we each work on our personal issues and we see it as our spiritual practice, because I believe that life is a spiritual practice. It's not something you do in the morning for 20 minutes. Life, everything that happens is an opportunity to grow our soul and to bring divine sacred consciousness to be more present, to amplify it in our material plane. And so what one of the shifts that we need to do personally, but to understand it globally, is that we share a human consciousness. And so when people feel hopeless, well, what can I do right now in the face of everything that's going on? Well, whatever you do now to work on yourself, it helps shift human consciousness because we are connected on a consciousness level. The first time we had a shared human experience was around COVID, the disastrous COVID. The hidden gift was that the first time that humanity shared an event globally. Everybody can say where they were on the 15th of March when it was lockdown. And so we need to understand that we are not powerless in the face of the forces, the systems. Each work that we do individually, my little small issues and aspirations and challenges make a shift and a change in the global pool of human consciousness. And so that was the idea for the book, that we each have the power. Some of us are activists and do great, amazing work in the world, and most of us don't, and yet we cannot feel hopeless. I want us each to know that we have the power to change our life, our immediate world, and the global world by shifting our personal suffering or tapping into our personal aspirations. So that's was the I think you say in English, the imperative,
right,
the desire for people to know, yeah, that we have the power. And so then the book really lays out how you, what are small, tiny, so it's small, so it's relatively short chapters, 4 to 6 pages each, and each one has a question for reflection at the end. So there's an idea in each chapter, a concept, a suggestion for you for a practice in your perspective, and then how can you practice today with the issues you are dealing with this specific suggestion. And so some of them are about shifting your perception of yourself, because if you don't change your perception of yourself, you can't create something new. You'll just repeat what you're already doing. And then some focus on how do you shift your perception of your world or of your situation. And so it's a very different levels. It's really very practical. How can you use your own material, your own challenges and your own aspirations, your own personality and your own soul's gifts to shift your world, see it as your spiritual practice and doing world work at the same time because you are part of the collective human consciousness. Does it make sense?
Yes, but I think what people need to recognize, because when you say that we're all connected, that is key. That is so important, especially right now with a lot of discontent, with a lot of anger that we talked about, with a lot of disagreement and a lot of, you know, all of that's going on in our world, even wars. And we need to recognize that not only are we separate? Not that we're not separate, that we're connected. And like you said, Anna, that we, even in if we think the small things that we do, the small acts, have a very profound connection to what goes on in our world, so that we can change that. And even if we change, like you said, how we see ourselves and be able to recognize it within ourselves, like you did, you know, that we are special, we do have gifts, and for all of us to recognize that no matter what challenges you're going through, you do have gifts, you can access your own hope and growth. And when we do that, we're sharing that with the world. It seems small, but it's not. And that's the beauty of working at this level, which I think is so very, very essential.
Yeah.
So what do we need to do to make some of this happen, okay? Like you had to shift from seeing yourself in more of a negative light. I had to do the same thing when I was young, given my neurodiversity. And what do people need to do to be able to align themselves with more of a spiritual recognition of who they are and connection to the world?
So, you know, what I can give is a suggestion or a tip. Obviously, I mean, I have a full program, the Expansive Living Program, where we go through 8 modules of how you can really shift your world, your perception of yourself, and then your world focusing on issues that you are specifically dealing with. First of all, we need to understand, I mean, that we are not just human beings. We are not the forsaken ones. We are magical beings, and I'll explain why in a second, but we are magical beings living on the edge of creation, each one of us. And I need to tell myself that as much as you might need to tell yourself that, because we forget it. We come from the non-physical. And in the non-physical, we are pure divine consciousness. And we have come down to earth, the magnificent experiment, as it's been shown to me in my inner quest and in my inner meditations and reflections, is that we have come here together as a magnificent experiment. Can we bring the divine sacred consciousness that exists in the non-physical, can we bring it into the material world without losing it? Because when you take energy and you put it in a dense form, which we call matter, whatever it is, if it's in a tree or if it's in a human being, which is more complex, or if it's in a cell in your body or in a molecule, there's less light and there's less divine consciousness because it's just a smaller space, right? And so the question is, how can we create a magnificent planet and a magnificent humanity without losing, or in a sense, without losing our connection to the non-physical divine consciousness that we come from? And even more so, how can we imbue our material world with more divine sacred consciousness? Everything. So the material world is not just here today, gone tomorrow, as I had learned in the early days of spiritual teachings. And I felt so bad that I wasn't spiritual enough because I enjoyed the material world. I had lived in Paris. I had felt elation, ecstasy, if it was architecture, if it was food, if it was art, if it was fashion, it was, you know, gardening, everything in French, in Paris, the material world, it's all craftsmanship. It's all craftsmanship. How can I make the material world as magnificent as it's meant to be? And so that's the first thing for us to know, is to walk around saying, I'm a magical being living on the edge of creation. Because each one of us has the power with our soul, the essence of our soul, to say, okay, how can I bring divine sacred consciousness into my day-to-day? into the next interaction, the next action I do, the next project I focus on, the next time I take rest or in my house environment. That is number one thing that we need to understand. So that's a big shift in our perspective, right?
So what's important?
Yes.
I wanted to go over this for a minute. Okay.
Go ahead, yes.
So recite what they need to, what people need to say again, because what I'm hearing, not from you, is that firstly, people don't believe I'm a magical being. Okay. So what did, say that again. I'm a magical.
I am a magical being living and creating on the edge of creation. I'm a magical being living on the edge of creation. We take this for granted, but when we say, I want to have dinner tonight and I want to have fish or a soup, okay? We just go get it. But think about it. We travel between the worlds. We are imagining what we want to eat. We may imagine how we want to make it, how it's going to look, how it's going to smell, how it's going to taste. And then we know how to go get it. We go get the vegetables. We come back home. We cook it. We take this for granted, but we are magical beings. We are able to travel between the spiritual and the material, the non-physical and the physical, between imagining and manifesting, dreaming and creating. So we have
and
to
I
begin
think that's
to see
right.
that.
I think that's important to recognize that when we say that, I mean, we're putting that out in the world, but we're accessing that from an inner state, from a pure consciousness state and making that manifest. And that's really very, very important. So when
I love that you say that because it is through the inner world. It is, we need to start saying, I'm a magical being, because when you start saying it, it changes your physiology. If you feel that you're at the edge of creation, you will create differently today, whatever you do, versus if you feel that you're forsaken because of your life circumstances. We've all had hardships. And when I felt that my hardship defined me, then I felt like a victim of the world because I had a raging dad, domineering dad, and an alcoholic mother. And a stutter, and I felt worthless. But if I start saying, so we think it's so complicated, but it's in a sense it's very easy. It takes time to practice, but if you start saying, I'm a magical being living on the edge of creating, of creation, what am I going to create today? Start saying that as a meditation, put it on your phone as a reminder. Let's see how things begin to shift for you, and the universe will respond differently to you. So I just wanted to kind of summarize it. Go ahead, Joanne.
Okay, no, I think that's important. But the question that a lot of people have is, okay, firstly, you and I have gone through a lot of different challenges and come forth with this very powerful inner belief system. But there are people who have lots of challenges and are still non-believers. How do we get them or have... We don't get anybody, but how do we help them shift so that they can recognize their worth, recognize their power, their magic within themselves and be able to put that forth into the world and into more consciousness? Because I think that's key. Lots of people, like you said, are going through a lot of challenges, a lot of difficulties, not feeling worthy in so many different ways. What do we need to do to assist them in this process, Anna?
Yeah. So, you know, there's an expression in English, right? You can bring a horse to water, but you can't make them drink, right? And I think that you, through your radio show and through your coaching and the beautiful work that you do in the world, you're trying to do exactly that. I do the same thing through my podcast, through my courses. I mean, there's different things, you know, the books I read. You know, it takes a lot of focus and determination to sit down and write a book. But my devotee, and I'm scared. Maybe it's not going to be good. Maybe I didn't write the chapter well. Maybe it will never sell. It's not like I'm free of challenges. It's just that my devotion, my devotion to making our world more whole and more magnificent as it is a few steps ahead of my fear. So that's one thing.
Now, wait,
so
I want to focus on that
yes.
a little bit because that's
yes.
really important. We all have fear. You know, I write books too. We all have fear and sometimes question what we're doing, and yet to be able to see that our devotion, our passion, how we want to make the world better and ourselves better is stronger than the fear. And I think that's how we get out of the fear and move forward.
Yeah.
I think that's a key
yes.
thing that you said, so I wanted to
yes.
emphasize a little bit. Okay,
yes, I agree, because it really, you should know. I mean, anyone, maybe there's spiritual teachers who have mastered everything and they're just not afraid or anything, but I'm an ordinary person, and I'm a woman, and I have low self-esteem in many, many ways. And I also show up with confidence. And so I may show up with confidence, and you might not know that inside I am scared. And at the same time, really, all you need is for your commitment, your patience, your perseverance, your devotion, your care for something, if it's a cause, if it's your life, if it's a child, if it's a pet, if it's a project. You just need your commitment and your devotion and your care for it to be a few steps ahead of your fear and your anxiety. If you have that, you're normal, because the fear drives you also. So, no, but you're in a sense, you're okay. You're not supposed to be fearless without fear. You're supposed to keep going even if you're in fear. I just heard a quote by Winston Churchill, which I love and I can relate to a lot. If you are walking through hell, keep walking.
If you are walking through hell, keep walking. Right. We all have fear. I have fear when I'm doing presentations. There's that fear, and I shift it into excitement, and people don't recognize the fear that I've had within me to move forward. But we need to be able to do that, to recognize that having fear you're not lost. It's being able, like you said, to walk through, to keep walking
yes.
and move forward past the fear into something else. And the fear may come up again in another circumstance and another, but to keep moving, to keep walking.
Yes.
And that's beautiful. That's
absolutely.
So very important. Okay, I love it.
Absolutely.
Now, you say that everybody needs to ask themselves one question daily.
Yes.
What is that question?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm born and raised Israeli. I lived there until I was 18, and then I came back in my 40s and lived there for another 14 years. And then 12 years ago, I moved back to the U.S. and live in Northern California now, but clearly very connected to Israel. And when the events happened, October 7th, and then Israel retaliation, and we're still there, you know, being connected to the soul of Israel, and also seeing what's going on here in politics, in the Congress, the divisiveness. Sorry. I had this experience of it just, I felt hopeless, and it drags me down. And so, you know, I write books because I take maybe complex human experiences, and I'm able to, I have the gift of simplifying them into something simple that you can start practicing now. And so I thought, okay, if I would rise to the highest level, everything going on in the world now, the divisiveness, the hatred, the greed, what would be the question? What would be the one thing I could do? It's a trick I do when I'm in a difficult situation. I say, what is the one thing I could do now that would change it? And when I get an answer, it really shifts it immediately. And so I ask the question, what is the one thing I can ask, and anyone can ask themselves now, as a calming, guiding question. And what came to me was Am I losing my humanity or am I amplifying my humanity with what I'm thinking now, believing now, saying now, or the actions I'm taking now? Because, and I'll give the example of Israel, and it's very complex, but I'll say that with what happened on October 7th, Israel had a choice. It could lose its humanity, which is what it chose to do, completely lose its humanity, or it could have stopped and said, wait a second, we have suffered enough centuries of anti-Semitism, the Holocaust 80 years ago, we want to stop this right now. We do not want to lose our humanity over what happened on October 7th. We want radical, immediate peace right now. It is the only way. And so so this is a big decision for a country to do, and Israel didn't choose it and created instead a horrific karmic, you know, it's just awful what's going on there right now. But every one of us in our small world, because we watch the news, we have opinions, we hate the other side, we hate this candidate or that candidate, we all have it, including me. But if I can in my life right now say, am I losing my humanity in how I'm thinking about this? Or am I amplifying the best of me, the best of being human, the best of being Anna, the best of being a woman, the best of being a mother, the best of being my unique personality? Or am I diminishing it right now in the name of righteousness or in the name of greed or in the name of some belief I have? That is a high-level question that you can ask yourself that will be your North Star to act with more integrity in your life and not get lost in the madness that's going on right now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, that's so very important, because it's not about, okay, look what you did and now I have to act the same way, or being able to retaliate or whatever. It's about recognizing that we have choices. And what do we want to do to be, again, to be able to move forward in ourselves, feeling a sense of peace and a sense of comfort in the actions that we're doing that are making us feel more at ease, more loving, more caring, not only for ourselves, but for our world and for connections with people and animals and earth and nature and all of life. And I think when we ask that question, am I losing my humanity or amplifying my humanity? I mean, I think that's a huge question to pose, because so many actions today, whether it's political or within countries or from one person to another, can get lost in humanity. And that's what's happening. Yeah. I mean, you know, I wake up this I woke up this morning, Anna, and was listening to the news and listening to all the local shootings that have happened, and I'm thinking, that's not how I want to wake up. That's not the world I want to see. That's not what I want to contribute. Yeah. Yet that's going on.
Yeah.
And if those people who took a gun and started to shoot out of anger or greed or fun or whatever it is, ask themselves that question, they maybe they would put that gun away, or maybe they would decide they don't need a gun, or you know. And I think that's so important to shift ourselves and get back to that sense of consciousness and the divine that's within us.
Absolutely.
You and I are very passionate about this. So sorry, because I feel it.
I know. No, I love it, and I love what you say. You say it beautifully. It's absolutely that. And if I can build on that, I have a chapter in my first book, Living a Spiritual Life in a Material World, where I liken the spiritual journey or the spiritual realm as going, if you're flying in a plane, and there's turbulence, right? And it's scary, So the turbulences are kind of like our material world many times. And so the pilot many times will take the plane up. Sometimes he might take it down, but many times the pilot will say there's turbulent, fasten your seatbelt, and they go up to a higher altitude. So it's like a bird's view or droning up, you know, droning out. So this is, again, it's small things. It's not complicated. You just need to try to practice it. If you can, if you're looking at the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and you feel that you're on one side and you cannot see the other side, then drone out and ask yourself, a baby tortured on or killed or maimed on the Israeli side of October 7th, isn't that horrific? A baby maimed from the bombing of Israeli U.S.-funded bombs on the Gazan side. Isn't that awful? So just go up a notch and see a baby on each side, and suddenly you have the possibility for your heart to crack open, because these are two babies that are sacred beings, precious, born to live a life, born to also be magical beings on the edge of creation, self-actualizing, offering their gifts to the world. And the violence on both sides and the righteousness and the cruelty on both sides is just killing those children. And it's obviously disproportionate to what Israel is doing, because it's a disrupt war, right? So, but just drone out into a higher plane and say, what is in common between these two sides? What is in common here? And can I find a point of commonality? That's the spiritual, that's the spiritual perspective, rather than staying at the detail of divisiveness. Because at the lower realms of divisiveness, everything is different. Nothing is the same. Everything is unique. But if you drone up to a higher level, like the plane, and you go, What is the commonality here? Suddenly your heart opens and you feel more unity, and you contribute to the unity on our planet.
I think that's wonderful. And I think we have to ask that question. Do we want to continue in our world, whether it's countries or individuals against one another, do we want to continue to contribute to anger, to dissension, to wars, to injury, to pain, or do we want to do something that actually can shift that to create a more loving place, a more loving heart, a more loving connection? And what's important? Is hate better than love? Isn't it important to that? And we have choices. That's the beauty of this. We have choices. Yeah. What are we choosing? What are you choosing today to add more light into your life and into the light of somebody else and into the light of you know, our world, our earth? How are you contributing? Even one small act, as you've talked about, Anna, can make that shift, can add a little bit more light, a little bit more love, a little bit more humanity into what's going on. And I think that's so very important. You and I are so impassioned by this. It's like,
we are. We have the fire. And really, I want to tell your listeners, know that, yes, your little act might not change climate change or a war on the other side of the planet, but it's going to change your life. You are on the other side of the planet for someone who is in the Middle East or in Russia, right? So if you're suffering, you're contributing to the pain and suffering in the world. And if you do a joyful act, and if you love yourself more today, because at the end of it all, it is self-love that's going to heal our wounds and make us whole again. All self-love, because that's the only thing that we can influence, is ourselves. So that is the most important thing. But when you do that, you are contributing to making your life, at least, if nothing else, you're bettering your life. Isn't that worth it? I think you are worth it. You are worth loving yourself a bit more today, even if it doesn't change climate change. But if we all change our consciousness, it's going to shift climate change. That's for sure.
Right, and I believe in energy. So what happens is when we change ourselves, when we create more self-love and self-acceptance, that energy is also going out into the world because it's more positive, it's more loving, and that energy flows and can touch other people. So maybe someone else that has this low self-esteem or feeling of worthlessness or whatever, maybe that love, that energy of love will touch them a little bit more so that they can look within and say, wait a minute, I am beautiful. Despite my X and Y and Z, I am beautiful and worthy and important.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful. All right. You are amazing. Tell our listeners, Anna, how they can get a hold of you, find not only this beautiful new book, but your other book, Living a Spiritual Life in a Material World, and Shift Calling, A Practical Guide to Accelerate Your Spiritual Growth, and so much more that you do.
So so my website is annagatchman.com. That's AnnaGatmon. And there you can find my books, and of course you can find them on Amazon and on other bookstores. The place to go is to Shift Calling also. ShiftCalling.com will take you to the expansive community. And you can join in for free, because what I share twice a week, I have mystical moment messages. I connect to a quality that can amplify your day and can just light up your day. And I get a message, a mystical message from the quality, and I write this beautiful message. I didn't even know I could write like this, because it's really the collaboration with the quality. I get a mystical message from it. And if you join my mailing list or the expansive community, you can get twice a week these beautiful mystical moments from the different qualities that can really shift your day and your life and our world.
Beautiful. What would you like to leave our listeners with, one message before we go?
You are a magical being living on the edge of creation. You are the one, you are the missing piece of puzzle in your life. Show up for your life. Get all the help you need and the guidance you need so that you can show up for your life. We need you to show up so that your life can be better, my life can be better, and our planet can shift its consciousness.
Beautiful. I love it. Anna, thank you so much. Have a beautiful, blessed day, and thank you for who you are and all that you do.
Joanne, thank you so much for having me again on your show. I love talking with you. We're both feeling very passionate and devoted to what we do. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks again. So think about what Anna Gatman said, because, again, you are a magical being, and you have the choice to empower yourself, to take a few steps today to power your life, to look at yourself in a new way, to see, wow, look at my magnificence, look at what I am able to do. Forget about what you're not able to do. We all have that too, but look at a moment for what you have, for the gifts that are within you. And those gifts that you're given are gifts to not only be for you, but to be shared. Take those steps forward, moving on, and recognize the gifts that you have and the responsibility that you have, not only for yourself, but to help better our world. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a beautiful, blessed day, and empower yourself one step at a time.
You've been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the upbeat show to enrich you and grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again and visit DocWhite.org for more information and find out how Dr. Joanne can benefit you. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.